Welcome to Blind Ability. I'm Jeff Thompson. Today, we're talking about turning a passion into a career. Joining us is Dawson Hagg, a sports management student at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse, who's building real-world experience through internships with collegiate and professional baseball organizations. We'll talk about how he found these opportunities, what it's really like working behind the scenes at the ballpark, how State Services for the Blind helped along the way, and what advice he has for other students looking toward internships and careers. Dawson, welcome to Blind Abilities.
Thanks for having me on.
You're spending another summer working in baseball, and this time you're with another uniquely named organization. Tell us about the team you're with this season.
The hat I'm wearing right now is the softball team, the Minot Honeybees. The baseball team is the Minot Hot Tots. They are both in the Northwoods League. The Northwoods League is a summer collegiate league for summer ball that college students who probably didn't get a lot of playing time for the college they play for.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a league that's able to hone their craft and just get better at the sport.
That's a pretty unique league and a great opportunity for college athletes.
Mm-hmm.
Last summer, you were with another organization, right?
Yep. I was with the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers, who are the high A affiliate of the Milwaukee Brewers.
Oh, that's cool.
Which is located in Appleton, Wisconsin.
That's quite a jump into professional baseball. Very nice. Before we talk about finding these internships, tell us a little bit about what you're studying, what's your major, and the university you're attending.
My major is sport management. I am also going for a business administration minor, as well as a competitive coaching athletics minor.
And where's that?
It is at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse.
That seems like a natural fit for someone that's interested in sports. So how did you actually find these internship opportunities? Where did that process begin?
My professors had told me about this website called Teamwork Online that has a bunch of job listings or internships for sports, ranging from baseball to like working in MLS or like MMA, doing operations or something like that.
Walk us through what your day looks like. What's your responsibilities with the Hot Tots organization?
Presently, it is working with other interns and my supervisor to have food and beverage ready for the fans in attendance and making sure that their experience is the best experience at a baseball game that they can get.
How does this compare with your internship last summer? What kind of responsibilities did you have with the Timber Rattlers?
For stadium operations in Appleton, Wisconsin, it was the upkeep of the stadium, whether that's like getting the bathroom clean and ready or getting the counters wiped off, as well as basically parking, showing people where they need to park when they come to the game. Other things were opening the bullpen door was one of the in-game tasks we could have done. Running the pitch clock was another one. One of the interns was able to work the scoreboard for some of the games. So, I mean, there's a lot that you can do. One of the things we had to do was concessions during the Wisconsin State baseball tournament for high school.
That's a lot more variety than a lot of people probably realize goes into game day operation. It sounds like those internships gave you experience with just about every part of running the ballpark. Let's back up a little bit and talk about how you got the UW-La Crosse in the first place.
The choices I had were, I mean, it's a funny story, and I keep telling people, like, sport management, at least when I started looking at colleges, wasn't my first choice. At first, I wanted to do video game design, so my first choice was Dakota State University, but then when COVID hit and we didn't have sports going on, that's when I realized that I couldn't live without sports. I had managed football, wrestling, and baseball in high school, so I had always been around sports ever since I was little. And then when COVID hit and sports wasn't there, I felt like I was missing a key part of not just myself, but someone that I knew would keep my future going. So after I had changed my idea from video game design to sport management, I looked at Winona State, La Crosse, Western Technical College, which is also in La Crosse, and Viterbo. And lacrosse was my first choice. I had family that went to lacrosse, and I also had my high school counselor also go to lacrosse. So there was pretty good connections to getting into lacrosse. Unfortunately for me, I didn't get into lacrosse right away. I got waitlisted, but then later on, I ended up getting in. Believe SSB had a little bit of help within that to get me in. So I ended up getting into lacrosse, and freshman year was entertaining. I mean, SSB helped with like some of the visual stuff, like telling me, oh, you should go to the Disability Resource Center, which is what it's called now. Like, go there, get accommodations, and then I would be taking my exams in there instead of in the classroom. The thing you can do if you go to like whatever college's Disability Resource Center, you can get accommodations such as extra time using some sort of assistive technology. My freshman and sophomore year, I used a recording pen that I could have it recording, but also like write down class notes. Like it was supposed to, after you were done with class and you replayed it, it was supposed to transcribe it onto a special piece of notebook paper.
These internships are a big commitment. How do you balance them with your coursework and still stay on track with your graduation?
At least with the sports internships, it's been in the summer. So I wasn't taking any classes last summer and I could just focus on the internship. This summer, I'm taking one class, but it is a class where I'm just supposed to be doing it for field experience. So it's like you have to record X amount of hours, record like what you did, how it connected to these skills. And it shows like you might need to work on this part of your like mentality, work ethic, or just like becoming a better person. And for this class, I only have to work on a few things. So most of the time I'm just focusing on the job, but in a week, the last section of the class opens up where I need to do a special project, which I'm currently working on, creating a standard of procedure for the sections I had worked at the stadium. Once I have that done and submitted, then I'll be done with the class.
For someone thinking about a sports internship, what kind of time commitment should they expect?
It depends on the internship itself, like working in operations in sports. Last summer it was, we were pretty much the first ones in and the last ones to leave because we had to do a lot of prep before games. And this is the same one for this year too, where it's like we're the first ones at the ballpark and we have to prep all this stuff. And then we don't get out of the ballpark until like 11 o'clock at night. Last summer, the latest we had to be at the ballpark was 1:30 in the morning after a game.
Oof-ta.
So it really depends, but working in sports, you need to be willing to work long days, which is putting in 14, maybe 15 hours every day.
Wow. Those are some long days, but I imagine that's also where you gain the most experience. Looking ahead a few years, where would you like all this experience to lead?
It all depends on what I can get after I graduate, which I'll have to do another internship for college next summer before I'm officially done with college, unless I want to go back and do graduate school, which at this point in time, I don't see graduate school as being a benefit to me. I think if I find the right fit for a job, then just working towards that. As of right now, I would want to do stadium operations for a minor league team or like be an equipment manager. I had done that in high school, so that was something I felt like I could revert back to, and maybe I'd enjoy it working at a higher level with a little bit more responsibility.
Earlier, you mentioned state services for the blind played an important role during college. In what ways have they helped you reach these goals?
SSB has helped me with college expenses. They've helped me in the job search. They've helped me with writing a cover letter, helping me like adjust my resume to best suit what people would be looking for. And they've just all around helped me improve myself so I can make sure that my writing is clear for people to understand.
If another student is listening and thinking about pursuing an internship, what advice would you give them?
If they are considering getting into anything, at least my college has told me, make a LinkedIn profile, connect with people. They have a job tab in the app where you can look for jobs, internships. But if you're looking to go specifically into sports, my best advice would be create a Teamwork Online profile and then start applying to those. Another thing I think a lot of people have are just like looking on Indeed, or like family and friends have also helped get jobs for me. And it's been like, okay, here's a job I think you'd like. You should apply to it.
You talked about accommodations at school. What assistive technology do you rely on day to day?
Most of the time, the assistive technology I use is magnifiers just so I'd be able to read something, whether that's on a computer screen or a phone. I remember back to like my elementary days, there was this old like magnifier where you would put whatever reading material you were trying to read under the lens. It would show up on the bigger screen, and then you just have to slide it back and forth once you were done. In essence, it was like a typewriter, but you're not typing.
It's amazing how assistive technology has evolved, whether it's a CCTV, built-in magnification, or software on a computer. Today's technology gives students and professionals a lot more flexibility than even a few years ago.
Yeah.
Before we wrap up, is there anything else you'd like to share with students who might be headed off to college?
I was going to say another thing, like just getting into the sports topics, starting my own club. It's like, that's one thing. If you see something that's not on the college campus you're on, sometimes you just have to go out and find someone to help you create it. I started the University of Wisconsin Lacrosse Cornhole Club second semester of my freshman year. I reached out to the American Cornhole League for help creating a constitution and bylaws.
Oh, wow.
I know it's not like vision stuff, but I think that would also help people that might be going into college and they're looking at all the clubs and organizations that the college has, and they're like, oh, there's not something that I like on here, but I'd be willing to start a club. Honestly, just reach out to a bunch of people. I know I did, and I had a lot of interest. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna start it, and now we'll see where we're going. The biggest thing that has happened with the club, we had a sponsorship deal that I made this past academic year. The American Cornhole League also hosted an event in lacrosse that I was able to participate and volunteer with. So you never know what's going to happen. Sometimes you just have to take the leap and create something, even though you won't know how it's going to go.
That's impressive. You didn't just join an organization. You built one from the ground up. I have to ask one purely personal question.
Yep.
Since you're the expert now, how far apart are regulation cornhole boards?
27 feet front end to front
Perfect. Now we can finally settle that debate.
end.
I've heard every distance imaginable, so it's nice to hear it from someone that's actually running a club.
Yep, no problem.
I really like that story because it shows that if the opportunity isn't already there, sometimes you can create it yourself.
Yep, there was an intramural league, and I played it the second and third quarter. And I was like, why isn't this a club that we can play year round? Because cornhole is one of those sports you can play indoors or outdoors. So you can play it year round. And then I started with one of my partners I had for intramurals. I was like, hey, would you want to be my vice president and help me with this? Luckily, they said yes. And so far, the rest is history. Hopefully, we keep growing.
Dawson, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I appreciate you sharing your journey from discovering sports management to finding internships to navigating college with the support of State Services for the Blind and even creating your own campus organization. I think your story shows that opportunities don't always appear on their own. Sometimes you gotta go looking for them, and sometimes you have to build them yourself. Thanks again for joining us on Blind Abilities, and we wish you continued success, both at the ballpark and wherever your career takes you.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me on, Jeff. It was great to share what I've experienced, and I hope for your listeners that the knowledge helps them in their journey. And I mean, if they have any more questions, you can have them reach out to me, and I'd be happy to answer.
We'd like to thank Dawson Haig for joining us on Blind Abilities and sharing his experiences with college, internships, and pursuing a career in sports management. Be sure to check out the show notes and check out the links mentioned in this episode. Today in the studio, we have the customer outreach specialist from IRA, and this is Janine Stanley. Janine, welcome back to the studio.
Hi, Jeff. Glad to be here.
Oh, it's always great to have you on here because that typically means there's something exciting coming from IRA.
You bet. Yeah, absolutely. And a way for people to actually get some free IRA minutes.
Ooh, tell me more.
Yeah, so many people may remember, I believe we started it in about this time of year in 2024, we came out with our Build AI program. And what this is, it's a program that operates through our research with Google DeepMind. And of course, back then we couldn't tell you, but now we can. We're working with Google DeepMind on Project Astra and defining that AI to really work responsibly with blind and low vision people. And we are reintroducing the Build program under the new name Build program, as opposed to Build AI. And you can actually sign up for this program if you didn't the first time and get free IRA minutes. So our Build program, the way it works is that your calls that do not contain personal information will go out to Google DeepMind if you agree to that call going out there. And that will help build data for things like how to give directions to a blind person, how to explain things or lay out documents. There are all sorts of ways that your calls can help build the AI product that we're working on.
I really like that there's an easy way for you to elect to have a certain call not be shared, and you can just go into your history and actually opt not to share that one within 72 hours. So that's awesome.
72 hours. And at the end of the call, you'll see this at the bottom of your screen. If you haven't been part of the Build program before, you'll see this at the bottom of your screen where it will give you the option to not have that call included. And you have that up to 72 hours, like you said. Go to your usage tab and your call history, and you can go in there and change that parameter if you want. Because some people, you know, okay, the call is done, I'm busy, I can't get back to it. And then they come back and realize, oh, wait, there was something in there that, no, I didn't really want. Now, we automatically will discard calls that have any personally identifiable information or PII in the call. None of that will be included in the research. So, you know, don't worry about that. We have the same privacy standards we've always had when it comes to PII.
Another acronym, Janine. Another acronym.
I know. One more for me to keep straight, yes.
Well, this seems like a great way to get this to be better, to build upon, because all of us, we learn in a certain way by repetition, and having all this information coming into it, it can only get better.
Yeah, you would be amazed, Jeff, what the model has already learned to do from the beginning. We started this time last year with this particular model in our Trusted Tester program, which you can also apply to be part of, to test this Google DeepMind AI. And, you know, when we started, it really didn't know how to explain that I need you to turn that bottle a little bit counterclockwise so I can see the label. Or I need you to move to a lighter area because it's very dark here and the flashlight is not really doing it. So it's learned quite a bit from us so far, but we want it to learn more. And we move from indoor tasks to more mobile tasks. Not quite navigation yet, but we're getting there.
Janine, another thing I really like what IRA is doing is when you're using AI, that you're not alone. Sometimes things aren't accurate, they hallucinate or something, but you have safety measures built in.
The interesting part, though, is if you, let's say, are using the AI, and I think I can mention this, there is always a person there in the background. So one of our visual interpreters is watching those AI calls, and all you have to do is there's a button on the screen you can tap where you can say, I'd like a visual interpreter to step in. And, you know, if the AI is really hallucinating, or if you know that you're getting into, oh, wait, I need a credit card read. I can't have the AI do that, you know. And the AI may refuse, it may not, kind of depending, but you can always call on the visual interpreter. And same thing during a call, you know, that you're doing with a regular visual interpreter, regular standard IRA call, you can always say, look, I don't want this call recorded. Or like we said, you can realize it. And afterward, you can tell us, no, I do not want that used. But we review all the calls. So 99.999 times we catch PII when we see it.
That's great. I always like, this is personal preference myself, I do like that the AI has that person watching there, because I was setting something up on the table saw, and I was setting up an angle, and I was just curious to see how accurate it could be, if it would read the needle, where the needle lands on the degree I was going for. Like, let's just say I was going for 62 degrees or something, and it said right there, blah blah blah, and a person came in and says, well, I would nudge it to the right a little bit, you know, but it's a start, you know, that to have AI do something that, but that human touch is awesome.
Absolutely. And that is all part of training the model as well, when we have to step in and what we have to tell it to correct it. And honestly, none of the AI models, you know, ours, commercial ones, whatever, they're not that good at reading controls yet. And I'm not sure why not, but they're just not that good at reading controls yet. So work to do there, but that's where, you know, all of these calls come in, because a lot of our calls are, you know, what's the thermostat, what's the oven, all of these different types of controls, from touch screens to, it, honestly, it's getting so much better at touch screens, which is great to see, because they're everywhere.
Well, not only are you getting 30 minutes to use it during the month of June, but you're also helping build this better.
Yeah, exactly. And let's talk about those 30 minutes during the month of June. So if you are already a build program participant, you'll know this, because you can go to the More tab, you can go to Preferences, and if you go down to what says Build AI or Build Program, you go in there and it will tell you you're already signed up. If you're not, it will give you a chance to sign up. You're going to read through our terms of service and all of those wonderful things that you check the box for. And then voila, you're in. And just, I'm not going to say instantly, but it's almost instantly, you're going to get 30 minutes into your account. You can use those anytime during the month of June. They do go away as of July 1st, but you can do anything in June. We have a theme that we're promoting, which is adventure. So if you have some vacation adventures that you're getting ready for, or, you know, you're actually going on a fun vacation in June, share it with us. I have a friend who's going on a cruise, and he's pretty excited to be able to share those minutes. So, yeah.
I'm hesitant on the cruise after that last ship, but I'm sure they're all a little more tidier than they were before.
Oh, I hope so. I hope so. I said, well, I hope, you know, part of this is not having to find sick bay on the ship. But yeah, this is the kind of thing that, and you don't have to do things that have, you know, are adventure related, but it's always fun if you do. And we may contact you and say, hey, can we share this call on our social media if it's a great call? Or if you have a fun call and you say, hey, you might want to share this, let us know. We'll be happy to do that.
Yeah, I was going through the preferences, and I actually ended up down there on how it'll talk back to you. And I like the long form, because I want to get the information, like if someone's on a cruise and they want to see the shoreline or something of that nature, you just don't want, it's a shoreline, you know, when you get into that long and fluffy, you know, you can get some very good description. I got that set up all the time now.
Oh, yeah. And the Access AI, which is our image description feature, that's the one. It's got preferences in it. You can set it for just the default fault, which is somewhere in between the short or the long description, or technical or a more flowery description. That we changed it a couple times since I last looked in there. But you can actually set those preferences and play around with them and see which one you like better in terms of description. I have mine set for, like you, the longest description I can get, just to see what all I'm going to get in there. And, you know, a lot of it is, oh, okay, I don't need that. But sometimes, yeah, I do.
Well, yeah, like if you're doing something where you got to get some information, like say 4 or 5 times real quick and stuff like that, you might want to switch that. But there it is right on the app, and you can just boom, boom, and you're ready to go.
Absolutely. And we've got that chat history in there too. So if you took a picture of, say, a bill or something like that, and again, you can actually have those verified by a person in real time. But if you took that picture and you think, wait a minute, I need to go back and see what that was, you can go back through your chat history and go back to that conversation and get that information.
That's awesome, because you know you did it. You don't want to do it again. So you can just, with a little tap of your thumb or whatever you're using, and just boom, boom, and there you are. And you can pull it up again and get that information. Not that we forget things, but...
Oh, no, never.
But I really like the navigation. You just hit the more button, you can go down, you can get almost anywhere just that fast.
Yeah, absolutely. We try to make it as simple as we can, although there's so much in the app now, and more to come, more exciting things to come. So stay tuned. But the Build program, again, we're going to be giving away minutes throughout the end of the year. So if you join and you use up those minutes in a month, stay tuned, because there will be more coming.
And if you don't have the app, go get it. That's the Ira Explorer app.
You got it. Ira Explorer, that is good for iOS and Android. And as I speak, our Android integration with the Meta AI glasses is coming literally minutes away. So it is coming very, very soon. So Android users, I'm sure by the time this airs, it may actually be out. So we are pretty excited about that. If not, trust me, it will be extremely soon. You can use the Build program with your Meta glasses, absolutely, with any access offer. The only thing that is restricted on the Build program is that it is restricted to your personal profile. Those minutes are going to go for your personal profile. It's not going to work on, say, a work profile or a school profile, which you can have. Some people have 4 or 5 different profiles in their account because they're covered by different things. But so the personal profile is where you can get the Build program.
Oh, that's nice, because if someone has something that has a reasonable accommodation, that's usually through a company, so that wouldn't be on, they'd have two profiles then.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'm sure companies don't want their data calls shared. The other thing is the coverage for this offer is the United States, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. We are so sorry, UK folks, but due to your country's privacy laws, you cannot take part in this program. I am sorry. But the rest of you guys, please go ahead and sign up for the Build program, and let's see what we can build.
All right. Well, Janine, thanks so much for coming on to Blind Abilities and telling the listeners all about this great program for the month of June. And like you said, throughout the rest of the year, it'll be going on. So thanks.
Thank you.
Always a great time having Janine Sanley from Ira on the show. And be sure to check out the Build program. You get 30 minutes free for the month of June, and they have more programs coming up for the rest of this year. The thing I like about Ira the best is a real person. And this person has a dashboard with internet, GPS, all the information that you may need in a given moment. So check it out.
Ira, the virtual interpreter for the blind.
Instant access to information.
A real person in real time.
Ira on the web, AIRA.io.
For more podcasts with a blindness perspective, check us out on the web at www.blindabilities.com. And if you want to leave some feedback, give us some suggestions, give us a call at 612-367-6093. We'd love to hear from you. I want to thank you for listening, and until next time, bye-bye.
When we share
what we see through
each other's eyes, we can then begin to bridge the gap between the limited expectations
and the reality of blind abilities.